What we're going to study in John 12, 37 to 41, although it is a very short passage, is actually a very important one. And we're going to study the problem of unbelief today. And then next week, we will look at the same subject of unbelief. The reason is because unbelief is so deep a problem, it cannot be resolved in one study. We must at least attempt another one. So the question that we want to raise ourselves is, what actually is unbelief? Unbelief is actually the opposite of faith, if we want to understand it. They are very clear opposites. Now, faith is enjoying, no question about it. We are to have faith and we are to exercise personal faith. The big problem is, of course, still unbelief. How is it that unbelief continues to be what it is? How does it continue to exist and to prevail? And so what we're going to try to do is to try and study the root problems of unbelief. And this is very, very important. So in John 12, 37, in verse 37 to 41, the first verse tells us, although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. Now, this is a statement that we are going to study very carefully, and then we will have to look at other corresponding passages or texts in order to understand what John was trying to say. Now, let's take a look at this idea. Although he had done so many signs, and if we were to look at it very carefully, any of the Gospels, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, the reality is that there were indeed many signs. Were all the signs included? No. The more prominent ones were included, they were added to the Gospels, but they do not indicate for us just how many of those signs were actually done. Some of them were very outstanding. Feeding of the thousands. One time 5,000 men, not counting the women or children. Another time 4,000. That's, you put them all together, it's over 10,000 people were fed. That was a huge sign, right? Then the dead are raised. And you take a look at some of these signs. I mean, they were obvious. And yet, the fact is that they still could not believe. Did not believe. They continued in unbelief. So we have to ask ourselves what that problem is. Because of the fact that unbelief is the opposite of faith. It's sort of unfaith kind of a thing here. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is that really all about? And so our first study today is on the subject of how anyone, everyone can actually struggle with holding fast to faith, including John the Baptizer. Now, John the Baptizer was portrayed very significantly in Mark chapter 1, in Matthew chapter 3, in Luke chapter 3. In all of these places, John the Baptizer is portrayed as the forerunner, as deeply committed, as preaching strongly, as being faithful and successful, you name it, he did a great job in being a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the reality of it all is that he also struggled to hold fast to his faith. And so we need to take a look at a passage in Matthew chapter 11, and then also in Luke 7, and you will find that both of these texts will try and show John in the right light. But both of them were candid to say that John struggled with his faith too. Now, what was this struggle all about? Firstly, John was in prison. And so from a very active life and ministry in the wilderness of Judea, And suddenly he finds himself in prison. And what he hears is that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing very well, having wonderful success. And there John was languishing in prison. He didn't know for how long. He did not know what would be his fate, but he was languishing in prison. He felt that that was such a waste. And that the fact that he was in prison affected his mind, affected his faith, affected him adversely. We can well understand that. And that is something that we need to deal with. That's a reality. And so John had heard in prison about the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Obviously. That's because you're in prison does not mean you don't want to keep up with what's happening in the world out there. So he sent two of his disciples, and they were very faithful to him. They attended to him even though he was in prison. And so he sent them to ask this question. Are you the coming one? And the Lord Jesus Christ was presented as the Messiah, the coming one. And now John was wondering, are you the coming one, or do we look for another? And the Lord Jesus Christ understood John. He knew his struggles, he knew the challenges, he knew the difficulties. And this is what he said. Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. And then in Matthew 11, verse 5, the blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. The Lord's word to John the baptizer was, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Now, in Luke chapter 7, we have this added word in 7:21. At that very hour, he cured many of infirmities, afflictions, and evil spirits. And to many blind, he gave sight. So those were signs that were actually not described in detail. But you can imagine that he healed, the word is many, infirmities, afflictions, evil spirits, even the blind were healed. Now, what does it mean? Many signs. This is one example of many signs. The question is, did John believe after that? Now, that is an important thing to take note of. So after they left, the Lord Jesus Christ began to say to the multitude concerning John. Now, he did not put John down. He did not speak badly of John when he struggled with his faith. A struggling with faith is not necessarily something that is bad or something that is wicked or sinful. It is just simply a very human problem where we struggle with our faith in God from time to time. And just about everybody struggles with faith in God. And this is something that we need to understand. So the Lord Jesus Christ described John and he said to the people, what did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Obviously not. A reed is a common thing. Reeds are common things that grow. Bulrushes, papyri, they are all growing all over the place. That's what we call a reed. A reed is also a very weak thing. When the wind blows, it will just move according to the wind. John was not a reed. Just because he struggled doesn't mean that he was a reed. But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. John was not dressed in soft garments. He was dressed in camel's hair. He had a leather belt. He dressed simply, but he dressed to the occasion. He wore clothes that would tell you how tough he really, really was. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, more than a prophet. In other words, he stood out even among the prophets. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. And so the Lord Jesus praised John for who he was. Among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptizer. But he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. What does that mean? Well, we understand what it is. John, in that sense, was truly greatest because he was privileged to be the one who will identify the Lord Jesus. He would be the one who will, as it were, baptize him or ordain him, anoint him for ministry. In that sense, he was given a very great privilege. And yet, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are supposed to be even greater in a sense of privilege, because they will be able to see the Lord Jesus. John did not see many things the Lord Jesus Christ did. They would be able to talk with the Lord Jesus Christ. John had only a very brief conversation with the Lord Jesus, nothing more. The disciples could follow the Lord Jesus Christ for the next 2 or 3 years. John's privilege, this was not his privilege at all. Right? So this is where the Lord Jesus Christ praised John for who he was. From the days of John the Baptizer until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, that's how people try to look at the kingdom of God. They try to manipulate. They try to do crazy things with reference to the word of God, or reference to the kingdom of God. They make things work for them, as it were. And the Lord Jesus calls this doing violence. You cannot do this to the word of God. You cannot try to do things against the word of God in this way, because it would be considered as doing violence. We cannot take the word of God and twist it around. Add this, subtract that. You can't. This is called doing violence. You're trying to force it to say whatever you want to say, and this is essentially wrong. John did not do that. He preached the gospel of repentance. He baptized people to ready themselves for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. This was John's faithful ministry. And so he says to the people, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. The question is whether they had ears to hear and hearing. They may have ears to hear, but they are not hearing, unfortunately. And so the Lord Jesus Christ had to describe that generation. What was it like? And he said, it is like children sitting in the marketplaces, and they're playing with their friends, calling to their friends, and they were saying, we played the flute for you, you did not dance. We mourned for you, you did not lament. This is called follow the leader kind of game. So the leader says, let's dance. Everybody would dance. The leader may change. Okay, let's do mourning. And everybody would do the same thing. But there would be some who would refuse to do that. And they are always wanting to be different. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ warned about. These are people who are just very contrary. And so he explains. When John came, neither eating or drinking. Right, you know, John did not eat and drink as he would normally. Straight away, the people decided he has a demon. He's not doing normal things. Then the Son of Man came, doing the opposite of John. He came eating and drinking. And they also had an opinion about him. Look, he is a glutton and a wine bibber. He's a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That was their conclusion. Same action, eating, drinking, two different conclusions. How is that possible? And to them, they are considered very wise. They think themselves very wise. and the Lord Jesus Christ begs to differ. Wisdom is justified by her children. Is this a wise conclusion? Obviously not. So were they wise children? Absolutely not. And that is what we need to understand. Doubts may arise, no question about it. Uncertainty may come, questions may be raised, right? But to the person who is like John the Baptizer, a prophet of great renown, a prophet who ought to be honored, the Lord Jesus Christ said to the two disciples of John, and he said to them very simply, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. And this is what he said. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Would John understand this? The Lord Jesus Christ believed, yes. And blessed is he who is not offended. In other words, he is not offended because of the Lord Jesus. Why offended? It literally means to be stumbled. You see, John may have his own ideas about what the Lord Jesus Christ should do. For example, release him from prison, or have him as a person who will work alongside. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not use John in any of these ways. He just allowed John to be in prison awaiting death. And John struggled with the thought. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciple, tell John. In other words, he will understand. He will know what I mean. What this is all about. In other words, the many signs of the Lord Jesus Christ would confirm who he is, will tell him exactly who he is and what he is doing. He is the coming one. He has come. Do we wait for another? No, there is no another person coming. That is only the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was an important thing. So the question is that of unbelief. Again, we go back to this whole idea. Is it a serious problem? Obviously, the answer is yes. It is a serious problem. So what is it all about? When we take a look at Matthew 11, Luke 7, John 12, what is it all about? And the reality is that some would believe and some would not. So the question is, what is the problem of it all? And so we go back to John chapter 12, right? And the question is, what is it all about? Although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. What is the problem? And the problem is very, very obvious as we look at Matthew chapter 11. All right? So the first problem is that they were like children who are very contrary. Now, there are people who like to be contrary for a number of reasons. One, they are contrary because they are just simply difficult people. Sometimes people are contrary because they are arrogant. They are contrary because they don't like to believe like other people believe. They always must be different from others. They try to stand out. If all the common people believe, they won't believe. If all the people say what they want to say, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, they will probably say something else. In fact, they did. So when the Lord Jesus Christ cast out demons, immediately they offered the answer. Oh, it's because he is in league with Beelzebub. See, this is what it means to be contrary. The problem of being contrary is actually a sin problem that is inside the heart. We don't know how to be humble. We don't know how to be candid. We don't know how to deal with the sin problem. We just simply allow that sin problem to blind us to literally to maim us in our thinking process until we are truly unwise people. So when the Lord Jesus Christ said that this was this generation, it is what we call a generational problem. What is a generational problem? It is not an isolated problem. It is a problem that affects different groups. Would there be some groups who would believe? Yes. Would there also be some groups who will not believe? Yes. It is a generational problem. One will affect another. There will be some who will affect others and they will believe. There will be some others who do not believe and they will cause other people not to believe as well. That's a generational problem. But what is really needed? And the issue is wisdom. How do we interpret facts as they appear before us? Right? So John has to exercise his faith. He has to exercise his wisdom. He has to exercise his reason. What does he see? What would he make out of all these things here? John preached a message about how the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than he was. He is preferred. He even told his disciples when they came to him, saying that the Lord Jesus Christ made more disciples than John did. And he told them that this is because God gave this to him. He must increase and I decrease. Well, those are wonderful words. But John needs to be consistent here. And this is where the Lord Jesus Christ specially performed miracles right in front of the disciples. And that is quite amazing. So the disciples of John, who are usually with John, perhaps they have not seen these miracles very much. They actually saw exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Right? The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. So you just imagine the many who came, who were there. Then the blind regained their sight. What do you make out of all of these things here? Wisdom must prevail. And if we are truly children of wisdom, we will understand that this is what we are seeing. Faith must be there. Unbelief must be dealt a death blow. Unbelief must be dismissed, must be rejected very, very strenuously. And this is something that we need to understand. And this is where the whole challenge is. The challenge is to look at the problem of unbelief or unfaith and to ask ourselves, how we can find the faith that we need to have so that we do not have to vacillate, so that we don't have to allow unbelief to control our hearts, our lives, so that we can see the triumph of faith. And this is absolutely important for us to take note of. The problem of unbelief cannot be allowed to become worse as it is, as it were. We need to deal with the problem as it comes. John did. When he found himself wavering, the danger of stumbling, being offended, was very real. And he knew it and he felt it. Immediately, he addressed the problem. He sent his disciples, talked to the Lord Jesus, asked him these two questions. Are you the coming one or do we wait for another? But he dealt with his problem. And so the Lord Jesus Christ as swiftly gave the answer. And when people have a good faith, a solid one, there may be squalls, there may be storms, high wind may arise, the waves may threaten. But the reality is that that house will remain firm, remain strong, because it is built upon the rock. And John's faith was solid. It was built upon the rock. There may be moments when he might have stumbled a little, but he did not fall. And the Lord Jesus Christ was very, very confident that he would be blessed because he believed, that he would not be offended in any way. And that is our challenge. Let's fight this problem of unbelief. Let's fight this problem of unfaith. Let's fight a problem that we can resolve and resolve effectively. May our hearts be greatly, greatly challenged to find that faith instead of allowing unbelief to take over. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the challenge to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to hold fast to that belief. We pray that you will help us to be sure that we are not stumbled because of thoughts of unbelief or doubts that may arise or through the challenges of life. Help us to choose faith instead of unbelief. Help us to resist unbelief strongly, that we may not end up with the fate of those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for grace and mercy and wisdom to understand our faith a little bit better. Help us to resist unbelief every way we can. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.